Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
Experimental radio produced by NASCAD University.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode is entitled Blue Sky.
But when I heard the information, I was overwhelmed. It's hard to express in human language what we know or what we feel from what we've learned in the classroom, and I'm no exception. I'm having a very difficult time. It's something that I felt very close to, very dear to, and very important, and it answered a lot of things that I was asking consciously and subconsciously, which were things like, what's next for me? What is life about? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life?
You'll be happy just to get the suit of clothes off and put on a brand new fresh set with, you know, new vibrations and be in a new atmosphere. And just so nice and clean. This place has just become so corrupt, ungodly, and polluted, and just totally something that is so far beneath the next level that it's...
Now the time has come for us to leave this world and to return to the level above human as new beginners. And as new beginners in the next level. By dropping these bodies, we will receive the inheritance we have been promised of eternal life in a physical, next-level body to be in service to the Chief of Chiefs. It is my choice to lay down my borrowed physical body to prove to the next level my love and the trust I have in my older members for what they have shown me as their example of what I can become. My thoughts in these last hours are only of joy and wonder.
But even this vehicle that has learned from the mind that has occupied it for the last 21 and plus years doesn't like it here anymore. And I know that because there isn't the conflict that used to be there, where the vehicle wanted to do one thing or feel one thing and the mind wanted to do something opposite. The vehicle itself has learned how corrupt and polluted. I know that all these words have been said before, but it's true. It's just a painful experience to recognize that hideousness has become the norm, and that people accept it out of ignorance because they've been programmed, and a lot of it is not their fault, but it is their choice. Each person has a choice to make.
And we may be giving up these vehicles, but we knew we were going to give up these vehicles anyway because we didn't really want them. We know what the vehicles are in the next level are not like these. They're not reproducing, they're not mammalian, however your brain can understand that. And we're going to a world that does not live the same way they do in the human kingdom.
You know when you remember a memory from your childhood, so many times you call back to it, and then you aren't sure what is the true memory and what is you constructing your remembrance of the memory. That's sort of what it feels like.
You know, like me,
the Institute exists in this world, but it doesn't want to be seen.
But why I wanted to work at the Institute was just, they're at the cutting edge. You know, the research that they're doing, the secrecy of that research is what really drew me in and made me go through all that red tape.
I knew that it would answer some things for me.
Like so many of the decisions I've made in the past, there was this air of grandiosity, can I say that? Sort of a reputation, the allure of going to something that's heralded as being really noteworthy for what it does.
I remember on the drive to the Institute, it was a long drive, and there wasn't much out there.
Well, okay, so we get in the buses, and we go out. It's about 3 or 4 days.
You know, there's a lot of time to think on that drive out there, and they don't say much to you.
And once we get out there to, like, the mountains, we go through the tunnel.
You know, I thought it was odd that, you know, all the trees and on the drive, they didn't have leaves. It wasn't fall yet.
There are classrooms for us to first get briefed on what we're doing.
It's hard to remember back to the very first impression without it being tainted by, you know, later experiences. But I remember being a little underwhelmed at first.
And I found it kind of like high school. I mean, a group of people don't really know each other, get thrown together. You know, there's a lot of joking around. You know, a lot of people were just excited.
You don't exactly go to the Institute if you're on good terms with your family, so.
Well, of course they don't know of the Institute. They believe that I work for the Census Bureau. I wish I could tell them. I mean, I thought about telling them, but.
They didn't know. Yeah, I told them I was taking a mental health break. Going to Mexico to visit some friends.
Close your mind and open up your sanity. The energy will heal your mind. Your innermost psyche craves the energy needle. Expanded sanity by becoming one with your closed mind. Now I know everyone.
Ah, the master.
Does anybody know why they fall in love with the master? I mean, does anybody? I would love to know the answer, if there is one.
It was strange. It was almost as if meeting someone I had known my whole life.
I think the master, he knew how to talk to a certain type of person. He knew how to round us up.
We were all gathered in the large assembly hall, and, you know, he was very, very quiet, and then he was very passionate and very loud.
I think that it's sort of, it's a physical reaction. I think that we're only human, we can't help it.
I found what he was saying to be as if he was saying things that I always believed and I can never really articulate.
Big brother is you. You are your own best friend. You are okay. As long as I like you. The future is exactly what you thought it would not be. Wisdom is the beginning of stupidity. The question is not why. The question is not why not. The question is why the question is not the answer. It is better not to know what you shouldn't know. Happiness is a disease that kills your true self. By turning your smile upside down, you can be your real self.
Oh, the master. The master is beautiful. If I was to choose my own bachelor for the show The Bachelor, it would be the master. But Bachelor doesn't seem to meet his greatness, you know? He's so grandiose. Maybe I'd call it the Duke or the Baron. The Love Baron, perhaps. He did love his medieval garbs quite a lot. Love? That's a strong word to be throwing out. Love him. I think maybe subconsciously deep down, very, very far down, maybe it's love, maybe. Maybe it's mutual respect. Maybe I felt I could become him. Maybe I felt we could have co-mastered if I had had more time. The master used to come in every morning and he would rub coffee grinds on my back. And I think it was perhaps to prepare it for some sort of a ritual. When you're inside the Institute, flying is not a big thing. Anything you think of, you can create, you can do, you can code and program it into how you function. I remember when I first left the Institute, I caught myself constantly trying to leap, and I thought it would always take me further than it would. And it was a while before I realized I had to walk everywhere. Life since the Institute, it's been about three quarters full, but I always notice that there's a bit missing. Sometimes I'll be going out the door and realize that I just forgot my keys. And I don't know why I always do that, but it started with small things like that. And it started building and building, and it got to the point where I would forget where I was going altogether. I didn't recognize my own home when I returned to it. I started losing these memories that I thought were deeply embedded inside of me. And they kind of started getting filled up by all of my memories of the Institute. Sometimes I'll forget the structure of my own face. If I go too long without looking in a mirror, I start to forget who I am physically at times. Well, I thought it was very, very full and very full of life and fleshy and just full of biochemistry. And then as our sessions went on and I started my input into the system, it became more ones and zeros and ones repeatedly, repeatedly. And that's kind of what creeps into my self-image when I don't see myself for a long time. Because that's when your old self really finishes its breakdown and starts its recomposition into the ones and zeros. I think something triggered a virus in the system as a whole, and kind of like when you put your finger into a socket and it pushes you back out, I jumped out. And at the time, I thought I wanted to escape, but now I think more than anything, I want to go back in after the incident. I was pretty oblivious to the things around me. I remember a lot of flashing. That's also the first day that I drank water since my arrival. Because I had just become so dry, and I thought I was past the need, and I remember the first drop hitting my tongue, and it was like a raisin going back into being a grape. Well, I had gone into the woods. Up until this point in my life, I thought I needed to escape technology. So I was planning on building this Earthship, completely self-sustaining, cut myself off from all that I knew, turn off the phone for the rest of my life. And as I got further and further into the woods and I was looking for a place to start my building, I came across this dome. And at first I thought it was an abandoned bunker that maybe I could use for my own selfish needs, but... when I went in, it was just a back entrance to the Institute, and it was like a maze.
Institute. Please help us direct your call. If your call concerns a missing family member, please press 1. If you have have had a recurring dream about the master, and you want to know what these dreams mean, please press 2. If you have traveled back in time from the future to take revenge on the master, please press 3. If you have been touched by eternal love and feel compelled to make a substantial financial donation to the Institute, please press 4, and one of our gratification experts will be pleased to serve you. Please stay on the line if you want to place our order for Institute coffee. You have pressed 3. Please choose from one of the following options. Press 1. To talk to one of our time travel experts regarding paradoxes, continuity loops, and karma counseling. Press 2. To be directed to the Department of Parallel Worlds to see if you have traveled to this timeline before. Press 3. To make an appointment with our curator of time anomalies to repair your worldview and come to terms with your destiny. The Master is good. The Master is great. Long live the Master. Please stay on the line to order Institute coffee, now available in Extra Sublime.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust them anymore. I just don't think I can stay. Just some things here haven't been lining up lately.
You don't like your work?
Well, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, well, some of the instructions that I've been given have just been not in keeping with the original orders. I feel like the context is falling away.
Like what you were saying about Nathan?
Yeah, definitely Nathan. You know, what was going on with the other room?
I mean, like, I can understand that you guys don't get along, but if you explain that, then, you know, you won't work with Nathan anymore. I mean, they can move him around, right?
Well, it's not just Nathan. There's Sarah, there's Emma, there's Gerald.
There's
a few other people that have just...
I hate Gerald. I really don't get along with him either.
Gerald's not very fun. But he's also been weird lately, you know? He just hasn't been himself. Nobody's been themselves.
Yeah, he's really tired. He's overworked. I think he's just taking it too seriously.
It doesn't seem like tiredness to me.
No?
No, and then... I didn't want to tell anybody this, but I followed Gerald. I followed where he went on the 16th floor 2 nights ago.
You followed him? Really? Did he see you? Did he...
No, he didn't see me.
If he didn't see you, then you won't get in trouble. Then you're fine.
Well, I took something that Gerald had. He took it out of his locker, and then he walked away to get something else, and I went and took a closer look at it, and I had to take it.
What is it? Like, what is it?
Just see for yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is just strange.
It's so bizarre.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, go ahead. Here.
It's like I'm holding it in my hand, but it's as if I can feel the outside of it, as if it's my skin.
It's like it's not here, but it is.
How did they even get it? Like, what does it do? They couldn't have made this. What are they up to on that floor?
I started to feel like I wasn't here anymore either.
Here, take it back.
Okay.
What are you gonna do?
I mean, I guess we could hide it someplace, but I can't let them get it back.
Hey, what's up?
Well?
You look really pale.
Do you remember the thing I showed you?
The object that you have.
Yeah, it...
You got rid of it, right?
No, I still have it. I still have it.
You gotta get rid of it, right?
No, I'm not getting rid of it.
But...
I don't want it, but I can't get rid of it.
You said that you were gonna, like, you know, hide it or something.
I don't think that's a good idea anymore.
They've been checking everyone on my floor. Like, people are getting searched. People's lockers are being opened. I don't think that you want to get caught with that thing.
I think I finally just need to go. I had a vision the other night.
They won't let you get out of here. Like, there's...
I had it with me in bed the other night, hidden. And I couldn't sleep. And then, all of a sudden, I felt like I wasn't asleep, but I was. And I was seeing images just floating there in space. And it showed me a way out.
So you're gonna trust the hallucination that this object gave you, and you're gonna just try to leave?
But, I mean, maybe it's... not a good idea to trust a hallucination, but I'd rather trust something coming from me than anything anybody else here is spewing out.
Like, they'll find you if you leave, and they'll bring you back. Like, people have been brought back, and what they, like, they're not the same anymore. Like, just, I don't know.
It showed me something, and it told me to go.
Hey, you weren't at the shift yesterday or today. Are you sick?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I just, I was told that I should just take some personal time.
Personal time? Wow. Yeah. That's the first time I've heard about personal time around here.
On Tuesday night, I had a really nice conversation with the master.
The master? Like, you mean you were, like, watching a tape or something?
No, I was speaking to him in person. I came across him.
I didn't.
He told me not to tell too many people about our conversation, but.
And what did he tell you?
Well, I followed the object. I followed the visions that it gave me.
Yeah, the object.
And it brought me straight to him. He told me to sit down and just talk with him. And I didn't want to at first, but. But once I did, it was just the most amazing conversation that I've ever had in my entire life.
But what about what you're talking about before?
The wanting to leave?
Yeah, well,
he gave me all the answers.
Gave you all the answers.
The master fulfilled the emptiness in me, the questions that I had, the things that I was looking for.
Can I see that thing again?
No, he told me I should hold on to it. But he told me I should keep it, that I should hold on to it for now and try to take care of it for him.
Here. I'm re- ridiculously tired right now. They woke me up like 3 times last night.
You've got to help me find it. You've just got to help me find it. You've got to.
Well,
you're the only one. You're the only other person who knows what you're looking for.
I mean, where'd you look?
I've looked everywhere. I've looked all over this place. I need another set of eyes.
Yeah, sure.
I can't think straight anymore. Without it, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what to look for anymore.
Yeah, let's look. Let's go look right now. So have you tried your locker?
It's not in my locker. Are you kidding me? It's not in my locker.
Have you been to where you work? Like, have you been to your workstation?
I've been everywhere. I told you already. I've been around this place a million times. I've been through this place in my dreams. I can see it. It's like it vanished.
Maybe it made you lose it. Maybe you're just...
Maybe it was Gerald. Maybe we should take him. Maybe we should just pull him aside. Maybe we should get him alone and just try to figure out where he put it.
Okay. We're gonna go.
We've got to restrain him. He's not going to do this willingly. He's not going to tell us where it is. If he has it,
Let's have a cup of coffee. We have to
I don't want any more coffee.
You haven't been drinking your coffee?
No, I haven't been drinking my coffee. I can't put anything into my body. I can't handle anything without it. I need to find it now.
Well, how can you find it without some coffee?
I'll talk to Gerald. If he can't give us any answers, we're just going to have to take his passport and look for it.
Do you think you can get some of those animal tranquilizers that you have?
Inside mysteries, voices carried on the wind. The spirit soul, but bodies die. Rain and grace from deep blue skies.
I had suspected for some time that I was here for some type of task, not knowing what it was. I realized that I was part of the away team and that following the information that they brought was what I had to do. I could not do anything else.
I don't know, I just feel like I've learned so much about the next level and Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven, and on how best to cut all ties, attachments, and addictions to self and this world.
If the humans were told the truth about what goes on this planet, they'd be shocked and wouldn't continue in their 8-to-5 slavery and ignorance.
And the funny thing is that, you know, we all came, you know, just human vehicles with minds entering those vehicles that had to take them over. And the crazy way that it works is that the more we put into practice the teachings and the behavior and the guidelines taught us, the proof of the truth that they held becomes more apparent and behavior and discipline and ways of thinking that we had held, all of our human vehicles, became distasteful and something that was beneath us.
And I'm honored to be a part of this. I'm a student, I'm a member of the away team, I know that. And I hope to be a young member of the next level. There are certainly no guarantees as to that effect, but I know that the next step that we're taking is the right step for me, and I'm very grateful for it. And in a way, I am very thankful that we're not staying here for the recycling process on this planet.
On the morning of December 11th, I woke up to the sound of the PA system and the PA system was on, but it was as if no one was talking. There's just this buzz.
The moment I woke up, it was clear what had transpired, even though I had no memory of it happening.
I realized the time. It was well after the normal wake-up call, which was strange because I generally wake up before the wake-up call is sent out.
It was a number of months before I started being able to piece it back together.
I got up, left the bunk, woke the other person who was in the room, and we went into the hallway, and things seemed normal. But I quickly found out that they were far from normal. There were locked doors, elevators were shut down.
I was hooked up to an IV and sedated. I was actually strapped down at that point, strapped down to the bed.
I ran into Mavis after the December 11th, probably around 11 or 12. She was with a group of people, and they were heading They're going down into the other sub-basements. They're armed. Not armed with like conventional weapons, but they seemed, I don't know, they seemed excited. They seemed like they wanted to, as if this was like some sort of movie or an adventure. And I don't know, like, I honestly thought that they were being a bit irresponsible, and it was surprising because Mavis is, you know, like, she seems so normal.
Mavis, we got along. I did care about Mavis. She cared about all of us. Well, you know, Mavis, Mavis was wonderful, and what happened to Mavis had been happening for quite some time. What was going on with Mavis? Well, you know, it could have been me next.
You know, I always thought I would leave with Mavis.
Mavis was an unusual individual. I think a lot of people had a hard time connecting with her. But at some point we did become friends and we developed a close bond. But even despite that, I had no idea that her involvement in this. There was no indications. She didn't say anything to me. I didn't notice any unusual behavior. I can only speculate that she went with the rest.
Sometimes I'm able to forget it, but other times things will trigger it. Someone flicking a pen particularly fast tends to put me into a trance. Coffee, as I've mentioned, has always pulled me back in. I guess the one thing that keeps me out is the smell of fresh cut grass. That reminds me of what's good on the outside. But everything else reminds me of what's good in there.
The Institute failed because... like me, it lacked vision.
I think the problem was there were so many moving parts, and it was almost as if the amount of specialists involved, no one was talking to each other, and when you have Camp A not talking to Camp B, you know, eventually it just gets out of control. Even someone like the master couldn't foresee what happened.
It wasn't really the Institute anymore.
I'm happy to be away.
There are several avenues of growth that a human may take. The point I'm making is an individual may seek higher knowledge through religion or science or whatever avenue, and again, it doesn't really matter. What matters is when a rep is present in the civilization that an individual has a gift of recognition and follows that deposit of knowledge towards that older member, towards that representative, and becomes a full recipient of what has to offer. And for me, had a strong interest in UFOs and what's going on with these abductions and space aliens and cattle mutilations and all this type of thing. And of course, through the years, that information is very difficult to obtain accurately with the human kingdom. It's covered up probably deeper than any other subject. And now we understand why more clearly than ever before, is because in order for the negative forces to control this world in the way they do, the truth has to be covered up and covered with layers of misinformation and deception for even this world's systems, governments, economic systems to survive as they do. And I don't mean to put down the human kingdom. It's the fantastic tool for growth, and I'm very thankful that I've been given a human vehicle to use as a tool in this overcoming.
But we would like those individuals that we work with to remember how they felt about us, what kind of work we did for them, and to try not to be influenced by what the media might say, because we suspect, knowing the track record of the media, that it might not be all too favorable or objective. So you've had a unique opportunity to work with this directly, and there have been more than one client who has suspected that there was a little something unusual about us.
What's going on? You know, you all must not have a life, or you're deluded, or you're brainwashed, or whatever the thinking might be. It's hard to tune into. From our perspective, from my perspective, this is gutsin'. I mean, this is the answer to everything. You know, these flesh vehicles, I mean, if you use the analogy of a car, and, you know, people may keep their cars for a long time before they finally wear out and they clunk out and they die on them and, you know, they go and get another car. Or some people, they say, well, you know, here's a newer model, it's much nicer, and this one, you know, doesn't quite perform the way I could, and I'd like to move into this new car. So get rid of the old one, get a new one. I mean, that's about all we're talking about. It's not a big deal.
But I just want to say that I don't identify with this flesh vehicle, this flesh body. And I know that we're at the end, and I look very, very forward to this next major step of ours where we're going to be shedding the these creatures, these primitive creatures that we have used for our lesson ground, and that we're going to be moving on to the next evolutionary level above human, taking on our brand new vehicles that we're going to be using in the next level.
Blue sky, deep blue. Blue sky, deep blue sky. Bombs away, you're here now. Blue sky. Goodbye. Can look you in the eye now. Blue sky. Goodbye. Ventriloquists and hypnotists understand the flow of bliss behind closed eyes. We see the end of blue sky.
A day in the Institute feels like a year in your life. You experience so much. A day in the Institute is like feeling yourself hourly transform as if it was a different decade of your life. You kind of cycle through this newborn phase to walking, to growing, to going to school, to college, to old age, to abandonment, to decrepitness, to falling downstairs, to dying, and then you're reborn again. And that happens every hour. You can feel it flow through you. And then once you leave the Institute, a day is just a day. You wake up, you have some coffee, you eat a bagel, go to school, go to work, and sleep. It's pales in comparison. You wake up in the morning, you do, you're assigned 50 burpees, you're assigned 20 push-ups, you're assigned 30 crunches, you tally yourself off, you put on your track pants, and you go and you plug in. And once you plug in, you feel the rush. I would give anything to go back to that, to have the circuits flowing through, to just like feel the code of the earth flow through you and you through it. And then once you start to kind of fry, they unplug you and put you back into your cell. Sorry, they put you back into your room, not a cell. Not a cell. Cruel? Immoral? No. It was bliss. I had never been taken care of like that in my life before. Maybe it's the personalities. Mine just took to it. I think that's what I had always deserved.
You have reached the main switchboard at the Institute. Please help us direct your call. No. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry I can't direct your call. My name is Mavis. This is the only way I have found that I can speak to you. It has taken me a few days to find my way here, and I'm not really sure where here is. I'm not sure if you are hearing this, or if this is just happening inside my head. It feels like I'm in a dream. Ever since I left, things have gotten stranger and stranger. But I want to tell you what happened. It was 2 months ago that Gerald found out about the lower levels. We started going there a few weeks ago. I knew we shouldn't be going there. Our security level was certainly not that high. But it was interesting. Seems that someone had left the back door open. At first I thought that the labs were abandoned because they were just empty. It looked like everyone had just suddenly disappeared. I came across a half-eaten lunch. Books and pencils had just dropped to the floor. It looked like people had just vanished into thin air. Thin air. What a funny expression. I guess that's where I am now. I'm now in thin air. But it's not thin. It's like a thick, dark liquid made entirely out of language. This is what we were being prepared for. This is what the training was for. It was Gerald who found the power source. I could see what it did to him. When he lost it, he went really crazy. He had completely lost it. That was when I realized I had to go after him. I'm sorry if I made things hard for everyone. I regret what I do now and I wish I could come back. I'm still trying to find Gerald. I know he's in here somewhere. Please press 1 if you forgive me. Please press 2 if you want to leave me a message about how to get out of the system. Please press 3 if you're Gerald. Gerald, please come back. I love you, Gerald.
You have been listening to Blue Sky, an episode of Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. The performers for this episode include Jessica McDonald, Mark Hines, Raphael McDonald, Maeve Mulroy, Alana Ward, Alexandra Robier, and William Robinson. Sound design and editing are by David Clark. Tune in again next week for more of nothing to see here.
Mistakes a man